Eye on Careers.
In association with LeMoon.com. Jobs, courses, and all things career.
Welcome to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. So it looks like the markets are picking up. Job growth is very healthy. I think all the CEOs I've been talking to are hiring for their teams. And hopefully we're out of the woods here on a nice bull run up to Dubai Expo 2020, some people say. There are some cynics who say the bull run won't last all the way to 2020, but we'll see. Either way, as the song says, it's all right now. But leave the markets alone. What about your own career? Ever wonder what it takes to make it to the top? Ever wonder what it takes to be number one in the world at what you do? Why do a select few of us go on to rise up and make history? Go on to achieve the unachievable, while others of us just wallow in mediocrity, never really getting the accolades or hitting stride like we were made to do. But some people tell me, they say, you know, Shane, you need to be born into money. You need to be born into power. If you're not from the right family, you have no chance in this game. Some people say, no, you know, if you don't get that educational background, if you don't, you know, those guys who get the Ivy League business school degrees, they're the ones that get all the good jobs. And if you didn't get a good education, it's too late in the game. You're in your late 30s or 40s or even 50s. It's over for you, some people say. Some people say you need to have money to make money. Some people say you have to be lucky. You need a lucky break. Well, I'm here to tell you those are all lies. It's not true. Just look around you. There are self-made millionaires who came from nothing, completely economically challenged families, no previous wealth. If you just look at Bill Johnson, if anybody out there knows, Bill Johnson is America's first African-American self-made billionaire. That's not millionaire, that's billionaire with a B. And he was so broke growing up, he could barely afford shoes. His parents were slave farmers. So I think most of us, if that doesn't prove it, I don't know what does. His parents were slave farmers. He's a self-made billionaire. And two-thirds of all billionaires are self-made. So, you know, I think that's quite an interesting statistic. Right now, you're looking at the self-made millionaire population growth rate is the highest it's ever been in recorded history. I'll repeat that: the self-made millionaire population is the highest it's ever been in recorded history. So that's amazing. You're seeing the age of the average self-made millionaire dropping. It's the youngest it's ever been in history. The age of the self-made billionaire is the youngest it's ever made in history. So is this the best economic climate that we've had? Best economic climate has been to be a professional, be working. And some of you are still depressed. Some of you are still out there. It's not good enough for you. Well, this is just only the best moment in the history of humankind. And you're down. I think you got to pick yourself up. And when we look at the statistics, these growth rates are increasing. This is the beginning of a tide. So I was talking to the founders of Kabon.com. These guys were making 3,500 dirhams in 2010 a month. Okay. And again, Paul Kenny, university dropout, no education. Okay. 3,500 dirhams in 2010. By 2013, he sells his company for $40 million to Tiger Global. So that's in less than 3 years. I said, wow, you know, it's really exciting that the age of self-made millionaires is now dropping. We're seeing it being comfortably under 30. You know, is that going to be a trend where we're going to see more of that? And he said, that's nothing. He said, you know, the average age is going to drop to being below 20. You know, you are going to start to see people who are now in their teens who are becoming self-made millionaires. By the click of a button, your product can be in 50 countries, okay? You know, when you start to look at what the digital revolution is doing for your profession and for your career, this has to be the most exciting moment to be alive and to be working. What better geography to be working in than Dubai? So it's not your background. It's not education. It's not luck. You want to know what it is? Tonight we're going to find out, because our first guest is literally a world champion. Number one in the world at what he does. That puts him in the 0.0000001% of his profession. So I can sit here and kick statistics to you all day long, but you're going to hear it from, you know, and that may have no effect on you, but you can hear it from the horse's mouth directly this evening, and he's going to be sharing with you how he built his career, what he did. He sells more Porsche cars on the planet than anyone else per capita. He has the world's largest Audi showroom. He is a legend. If selling cars was an Olympic sport, he would be a gold medalist several times over. And he is going to be telling you how he built his career. His name is Mr. Rajaram, the Chief Executive Officer of Al Nabuda Automobiles. This is one interview you don't want to miss. These are going to be full of takeaways and things you need to do. But, you know, at Ion Careers, we don't just stop there, because success is found with tenacity, persistence, a never give up attitude. So we don't just have one guest. We have two guests. Our second guest, also globally renowned, is the co-CEO of the iconic publishing Archie Comic Books. For anyone from the United States, Archie Comic Books is a brand you had to grow up with. It's one of the legendary publishers of our time. And so we are going to find out what it does, what puts you over the top, what pushes you over that limit and pushes you onto that global stage to compete. So our first guest, as I said, is Mr. Rajaram, the Chief Executive Officer of Al Nabuda Automobiles. Let's hear a little bit about his background.
This is Ion Careers Executive CV.
K. Rajaram is the CEO of Al Nabuda Automobiles. He has almost three decades of experience in the regional auto industry, completely with the Volkswagen Group. After working in Oman for almost 18 years in the early part of 1996, he was approached by Volkswagen in Germany, who requested him to relocate to Dubai to run Audi, Volkswagen and the Porsche franchises. He left Oman in June 1996 and then joined Al Nabuda Automobiles in Dubai. When he took over this organization as Chief Executive Officer, the company sold a total of 365 cars per year, comprising of those three brands. Today, the results of the company indicate the progress that has been made. In the last 5 years, they've put more than 5,000 units of the brands on the road every year. K. Rajaram has a great passion for motorbikes. He loves to go on rides with his son and wife on their collection of bikes, namely the BMW, the Honda, and the Harley-Davidson. He was recently named by Forbes as one of the top 20 Indian CEOs in the UAE.
That is one amazing CV. And can't wait to find out what it takes to build a profile like that. Mr. Rajaram, welcome to Ion Careers.
Thank you, Shane. Good to be back here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. And thank you as well, because I know you also came to our community event at the Canadian University of Dubai.
Yeah.
The one thing I find amazing about successful people is they always want to make other people successful. And, you know, you obviously show that. I mean, you came out, I think, on a Thursday evening at like 9 o'clock at night to talk to a mix of students and professionals about what it takes to make it. And so we'll be exploring that tonight. But just so we could get a bit of an idea of the size and the accomplishment that we've seen, you are number one in the world for selling Porsches per capita.
Yes, and we have been so for the last 9 years. We sell more Porsches than any other dealership in the world, And our success has mainly started off when Porsche launched the 4x4. Because as you know, this is substantially a 4x4 market. But ever since then, we have never looked back. And in all the spheres, we have tried to excel to the largest extent possible. In fact, way back in 1997-98, we built the world's largest Volkswagen workshop. We have now the world's largest Audi showroom. And in the next year, we shall see the world's largest Audi workshop, which we just broke ground last week on.
These are huge accomplishments. And I think, you know, when people are starting their careers out now, they want to just kind of quantum leap into this league. But when you started all three brands together, you were selling 365 cars a year. And I would imagine that to the other dealerships in the world, you didn't even show up. They didn't even know about you.
Well, let me say they were depressing times. You know, every day it was a fight when you walked into the office, because the first person you saw was your financial controller, who wanted to know how the bills were going to be paid.
Really? So was that? I understand your desk was right beside the mechanic.
Yeah, the workshop. So we had one office. Everything was in that workshop. You know, that's it. And we had one showroom in Garud, which had all the three brands in it.
All mixed together.
That's all we had.
And necessarily a guy who's buying his Porsche doesn't want to go into the Volkswagen showroom, and well, the branding can't fit.
Yes, know. It just doesn't fit. The images don't fit. But anyway, that's how we started off.
The good old days.
Yeah.
And so you've have, 40 years experience now in auto business. And, you know, it was funny because we just had Juwan Oldham, who I think you met last weekend, who was an NBA star and played with Michael Jordan. He also has 40 years experience in basketball. And it really seems that this success story doesn't happen overnight. But before we get into what you think it takes to make it, we just have to take a quick break. So we're going to be right back with Rajaram's insights into what it takes to be a world champion. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. And we are looking at what it takes to make it to the top, to be number one, not just in your company, not just in your region, but number one in the world. And here to do that is a man who is number one in the world at what he does. He runs the largest Audi showroom, the largest Volkswagen service center, and sells more Porsches than anybody on the planet per capita. His name's Mr. Rajaram. He is the chief executive officer of Al Nabuda Automobiles. Welcome back, Rajaram.
Thank you.
So we were just saying that it was bleak days in the beginning, that you had some very tough spots. You don't just automatically get to this this stage. And when I asked you just on the break, we said, you know, what is it that makes, you know, what would you say are the really defining character traits that allows somebody to break from the herd and rise up versus those of us who get stuck in the back of the pack?
Determination. I just had to do it, because we came into Dubai from a fairly successful dealership in Oman, because we had built it up by then. And I just could not look back and say it didn't work out. There was potential in Dubai. There was enormous potential. It was just waiting to be tapped. And when we spoke in the break, we also spoke about the chicken and egg situation. You got to grow and make money to invest. But you need facilities to sell cars. Now, what do you do first? But I was very, very fortunate. I had enormous backing from my board. And for the first 5-6 years, pretty much whatever little money we made, they allowed me to plow back in the business and build up our facilities, which is what was the start of our success.
When you're hiring, you're looking at someone's CV, and you see that individual who's jumping every 2 or 3 years. Do you see that as a sign of a lack of determination, a lack of perseverance, a lack of tenacity? In fact, a lack of the very things that it takes to make it?
There are two ways of looking at that CV. Sometimes there are genuine reasons. You know, he might just have landed up in a dud company. But if he has just skipped because, you know, he wanted a little extra salary, or you can make out when you speak to the person what his reasons are, whether they're tenable reasons why he shifted jobs. If they're not tenable reasons, then he's not worth the time.
Right, right. So you have to kind of gauge that fire in the belly, you know. It's not so much about just achieving a certain goal. Is it more about a becoming, or, you know, that you're just willing to do whatever it takes to make it?
I would say that 90% of the CEOs who have been successful will tell you one of their main reasons is that their ability to spot the right people to work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then empower them.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, you can't run the whole company yourself. You need very good people to back you up. And in this, I have been extremely fortunate. I've maybe picked the right people, and they've done a wonderful job for me. They've backed me to the hilt. And the very fact that we could build facilities at this speed is a testimony to how much my people have worked and how hard they've worked.
It's mind-boggling how fast you've done all that. I mean, sure. What the Fujairah facility is 83 million dirhams or something like that facility?
Shade above 100 million.
100 million.
Yeah.
That's huge. What a great thing, too, to have an emirate of Fujairah. Fujairah seems to be one of those emirates that's really on the up and up.
It's definitely on the radar. It's growing. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot more that's going to happen in Fujairah in the future.
You know, a lot of people are looking at buying land or property in Dubai. So, you know, you should buy property in Fujairah. It's pretty landlocked because of the mountains and the water, and just seems to be booming. But, you know, one of the interesting things you had said is that there were some very bleak days, some very dry days. What were some of your driest days? Or, you know, there has to be days when you feel like quitting, correct?
Well, you know, when you're at the top, you can't quit. What can you do? You know, you can't run away from, this is the company you are trying to build. The bleak days were, you know, when the financial controller was standing at your door with the 28th of the month and salaries had to be paid. And it was a scratch, you know, to pay off, because you need to pay off your people. They needed to live. And it was an enormous challenge. And anyway, we've lived through it. And we also had some very good banker friends who stood by us and gave us assistance and support. And
that doesn't happen anymore. That was the old times, right? Where now the bankers, if you're in trouble, they increase your rate. They make it, you know. Do you really need the debt? Okay, now it's more expensive than ever.
I don't want to offend any of my banker friends.
No, so you had credit facilities to pull through.
Yes, we did.
And that was critical. But there were sleepless nights. There were some nights where you really didn't know how you're going to get through it.
Lousy nights. And especially when you can move cars, you can do stuff if you have money to market. We didn't even have marketing money. If you ran an ad campaign, it was sitting and calculating, you know, how much half a page in a newspaper would cost, what would be the benefit. Everything was a challenge. Whatever you picked up, whatever you did, the first question you asked yourself was, Christ, can we afford it?
Does it, when you're selling cars, though, do those ad campaigns really work? Because I would imagine, for example, the guy who's going to buy a Porsche 911 Turbo with all the... He's been looking at that car since he was 9 years old, and now this is his moment, and he's made the decision, and he's walking, you know, he's getting the car to come to a dealership and he's buying, period, right? Do you see a lift in the luxury market with ad campaigns?
No. The way you market luxury cars is completely different. It's done on golf courses. It's done with events. It's done with going to the public. I agree with you, a newspaper ad does not sell a 911. But most 911s have been sold when the person was 9 years old, like you said. He only comes to finish the deal 20 years later in my showroom.
Right.
But he's already bought the car when he was 9.
Yes. Yeah, so it's more the economical segment or...
Or we would advertise an SUV where we compete with other SUVs in the market. But with the 911, we don't compete with anybody. It's an icon.
It's an icon.
It's the only one in the world. There is no other 911.
It's an awesome car. It's definitely an awesome car. So that perseverance and determination is just not there in most people. And is that so? When you started, you came to Oman. This was even tougher, right? I think. I mean, that's when men were real.
In those days, Oman was fairly basic because that was a country where Sultan Qaboos had just taken over. And he had just started this great development surge in Oman. Telephone lines were difficult to get, very few roads, electricity was difficult to come by. They were difficult days, but then that country also grew extremely rapidly. And I think within about 7-8 years of being in Oman, everything was on and working fine.
But in the beginning, there wasn't even running water.
No. It was tough days, very tough days, especially when summer came. Wow, it was a whole new ball game.
So I always wondered about that when you didn't have air conditioning, let alone, you know, I just take running water for granted, so I didn't even think about that. But how do you get through plus 50 degrees Celsius, you know, and you're trying...
The body is an extremely unique thing, Shane. You would be surprised at what it can learn to handle when it's put in a situation. After the first 2.5 months, you don't even think about it. Your body is used to it. Your mind is used to it. Because we have all these comforts now, when the electricity is switched off for one day, you can't stand it. But when it's never been on, how many people have lived in the desert for years? The Bedouins. They've lived fine. They become hardy. You get used to it. Your body learns to handle it.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't be able to handle it, but, you know...
Sitting in an air-conditioned room, yes, you won't be.
And now they've got these new things, the K-Cal, I don't know if you heard this, where they actually deliver your food to you, so you don't even have to cook anymore.
Right.
So I'm on this K-Cal thing, it's amazing, and my food is even delivered, so my breakfast, lunch, and dinner... I'm like almost like a pet. Like I couldn't actually survive a minute in the wild at all. But so this tenacity, I mean, it's really a driver. Would you say that, you know, it trumps IQ, it trumps talent, it trumps everything basically?
No.
I mean, if I was of sub-average intelligence and I had very little capital, could I make it on sheer determination? Before you answer that, we have to take a quick break. But this is Rajaram, the Chief Executive Officer of Al Nabuda Automobiles, the world champion of Porsche of car sales, and one of the iconic businessmen here in Dubai, telling you his secrets of success. So we're going to be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are looking at tonight what it takes to be number one in the world. The best part is it's an interactive show. So if you have a question for our guest, or you have any queries into what it takes to make it to the next level in your career, you can SMS us at 4001, or give us a call at 0442310 10. But you can SMS us at 4001. We're sitting here with Mr. Rajaram, the Chief Executive Officer of Al Nabuda Automobiles. Rajaram, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you.
So just before the break, for those just joining us, Rajaram sells more Porsches than anyone on the planet. He has the largest Audi showroom on the planet. He has the largest Volkswagen service center on the planet. This is a guy who is making global waves. And in fact, I think at one point, I understand the Germans themselves filled a plane full of a 747, was it, and flew down to Dubai to see how, and you gave them a tutorial on how to sell German cars.
Well, not. They also wanted to have a look at our facilities, because that was the time when we just finished building the state-of-the-art Volkswagen workshop. And there was no workshop like that existed anywhere in the world. So they bought in all the German dealers to have a look at how a workshop should be built.
But it wasn't always like that. For those just joining, it started out as a small little rundown place in Dera, was it?
In a tin shack.
A tin shack.
In Rashidiya.
I didn't want to say it, but yeah, it was a tin shack in Rashidiya. And Rajaram's office, showroom, and garage were the same room. It's all one room. So it's quite an accolade. So I was just asking you before we cut to the commercial is, you know, does determination trump IQ, talent, and, you know, for example, that's what that movie Forrest Gump was about, right? Is that the guy's just determined. He doesn't give up. In fact, he starts running. He runs across the whole country, right? Run, Forrest, run. And he finds success. You know, what do you think about that? Does determination trump the others, Trace?
Determination forms a very large part, but you cannot do only with determination. There must be a modicum of intelligence. There must be a modicum of hard work. Determination alone is not going to get you. You can sit in one place and be extremely determined to do something, but if you don't have the talent to do it, you're not going to get anywhere. Success is a combination of various factors, including a modicum of luck. Because if that's not on your side too, you're in trouble.
Right, right. So when you look at it now, you started out, you said you didn't even have money to market, to sell the cars.
Yeah.
How do you approach the strategy? You're cash strapped. And, you know, what's your approach, strategy, tactics? What's your business philosophy? Do you have any North Stars?
Work each individual personally, because we didn't have money to mass market, but we could go and tap individuals, and that was our focus. And that built up. 365 cars became 400, 400 became 450, word of mouth. Good service, they take care of you, go back to them.
Right, so it's just basically focusing on that customer service.
Cause absolutely.
We interviewed the global CEO of Deloitte, and you know, he said the same thing. You know, when you say, what are the, you know, two or three most important things for the business? And he said, you know, customer service, number one. And number two was being responsive to that customer. So when someone
absolutely
had him, you're responding. Those would echo. Those are the fundamentals, right?
The success of our company is that 75% of my customers are repeat customers. These are guys who have come year after year and bought a car from us and bought a car for their wife, children, etc.
Do you think that's one of the differences as well, is that, you know, the people who have the shorter vision of timeline horizon or investment horizon are looking at just making the sale, and the people who are successful are focused on making that repeat sale. You know, they're servicing to get that repeat business. They're focused on the second sale, or like Bruce Lee, you know, don't just punch your target, punch right through. You know, is that one of the tenets?
The cheapest way of selling a product is a repeat sale. The most expensive is conquest. And if you can get your act together and give the customer the confidence to keep coming back to you again and again, your wars are already won. But if you have to go conquest a customer, that's an enormous expense. It's a marketing expense, an advertising expense to go and get to a new customer.
And as a business, as you manage the cash flows, you know, in those early days, you know, did you have the accounting sophistication where you were actually looking at the cost of client acquisition, or you know, would you kind of be sticking these costs to each, you know, this
my
client or
friend,
each brand? Or
there
no?
was so little money, we looked at everything, and there's not much to look at either. So it was very simple.
So, okay. And then, so you know, I think a lot of people view their careers as a sprint. And when I'm hearing the subtext of your lessons, it's a marathon. You got to be here in the long haul.
You have to. And you have to be focused. You know, the other thing is people, I find there are some people who think it's very fashionable to switch industries they are in. Industries switching, I think, is not what I would recommend, because each industry is intrinsic. You know, there's a lot you have to learn about it. It's not something you can work at for 2 years and say, okay, today I'm in FMG, I'm out of it, tomorrow I'm in something else. It doesn't work that way. You've got to be in for the long haul. And that's the only way you get to where you want to go.
One of the things that I look at is, you know, when you, so many people are focused on the upside of a business, you know, which segment, which car, which brand is selling the most. Let's go and make us one and go after that segment. But nobody fails on that. People fail on the risk, on the downside. And being in an industry for a long time, is that one of the things that you gain is a deeper understanding of the risk?
Every product, there's a risk in selling it, whichever way you look at it. You could have done all your segment analysis, you could have done your market analysis. At the end of the day, if the consumer does not want your product, it doesn't matter, however good it is, he's not going to buy it. You could sit down and do all these great analysis and tell yourself, I'm going to go after this segment, I want to do. The end result is, you must have a product which the customer wants to purchase.
And I think the customers are ready for some new cars. You know, we've heard a lot of banter around this hybrid, about this electrical car. You saw BMW coming out with some radical new designs. And where are we going? Like, what's the future? You know, what are we going to see over the next 3 years in the car market?
Definitely, there is a huge future for hybrid and electric cars. But I would say this. A lot has to be done with infrastructure before it can really take over the diesel or the gas-powered engine.
I think that there's also a comeback of the vintage and the classic car, because some people are getting sick of, you know, what's happening in the car market now, that, you know, the Nissan Patrol and the Land Cruiser look exactly the same, and the Lexus is not a stone's throw away from that design-wise. And almost now, some of the Hyundais are starting to look like Bentleys. You know, it's everybody, it looks like everyone's getting, you know, using the same designer. I don't know what's happening. But there's also a revival of the classic and the older cars. Do you think we're on the precipice now of a radical explosion of new designs that we may see in the next couple of years?
You see, I don't think there'll be anything radical, because at the end of the day, it all starts with aerodynamics to make the car the most fuel efficient to run. And there's a limit to what you can do with aerodynamics. Eventually, also, the design of the car is a personal perception. There are some people who love the looks of a car and some who just detest the same car. So there's no two ways about it. It's a personal preference. And if you say design is evolving, it is evolving. Especially if you look at our brand Audi. What the reason for our success has been the design of our vehicles more than anything else. They've been funky. They've been talking to the younger people. It's a little different. And I think in the same fashion, each manufacturer tends to go after a particular segment which he thinks that he can attract. So design, I would say, is a function of personal preference.
This is Rajaram, the Chief Executive Officer of Al Nabuda Automobiles. We're going to be hearing his insights into what it takes to make it to the top in just a minute. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are listening to a man who is number one in the world at what he does. If selling cars was an Olympic sport, he would be a gold medalist many times over. He sells more Porsches per capita than anyone on the planet. He has the world's largest Audi showroom, the world's largest Volkswagen service center, and I think he's in the process of also now building the world's largest Audi service center as well. He is a man on a mission, and he's made it right to the top. Very few of us can say we're number one in the world at what we do. His name is Mr. Rajaram, the Chief Executive Officer of Al Nabuda Automobiles. Rajaram, welcome back to Eye on Careers. Welcome
back.
It looks like I think we have a caller here with a question. Hello? Oh, sorry. Hello?
Hello, good evening, sir.
Good evening. I understand. Do you have a question for Mr. Rajaram?
Yeah, I actually want to say how I'm worried about what's said on keeping the customers coming makes it cheaper. then that is great. That is great. All of the studying business, I've not had that before.
I'm sorry, you were saying, how do you keep the customers coming? Is that what you're saying?
No, I said his statement on keeping the customers coming makes it cheaper.
Makes it cheaper.
So, yeah.
You like that?
Cheaper. I said I love that. He really puts me through. All this while I've been studying business, I haven't had any professor tell me something like that.
Oh, well, great. Thank you. So it's just a comment that you like that idea. Yeah, that would be when, if you're taking a course on decision risk analysis, you'll start to look at the cost of client acquisition. So that would be the finance economics piece of it. So that's where you would find it. It's quite a big calculation to figure it out. So, but great. Thank you so much. Did you have any question for Rajaram?
No, thank you, Thank you.
Okay, good luck. Talk to you soon. So, very interesting. The cost of client acquisition, obviously some things that people don't think about. But nobody comes on the show without being asked the famous question of what's your secret to success?
ION Careers now reveals the secrets to success.
Rajaram, what's your secret to success?
Hard work, perseverance.
ION Careers.
In association with LeMoon.com, jobs, courses, and all things career.
I don't think it could be more simple than that, and I think, you know, we really walked through some of the moments, the tough spots, the fighting through the mud, etc. But you know, as you grow your career, it becomes more complicated when you start dealing things with leadership or managing managers, and then managing an enterprise. So maybe we could talk about those two things quickly. What's your approach to leadership, and what would your advice be to any of the managers out there listening to us now?
The first thing is you hire the right people and you empower them. And once you do so, you let them lead. Your only job as a CEO at the top is to monitor. The real work is done by these people. These are the guys who actually run the company on a day-to-day basis. And I've been very fortunate. There are times when I've had fights with my general managers when they have stood their ground and said, no, I want it done this way or that way. The thing is to sit across the table and understand the reasons why he's saying so. And if you think his reasons are fair and pertinent, you give in. You let them do what they want, provided they are willing to carry the can if things go wrong. The worst leader is one who tries to pass the buck when things go badly. And that I wouldn't let my general managers do, because they have to take responsibility.
And, you know, you're now in that stage of your career where you're actually managing an enterprise. And, you know, I would say one of the key drivers of your role, or one of the key parts of your role, is creating value as an enterprise. What are some of the key things you need to create value as an enterprise and to continue to do so?
The value that you create is what you put in your people, how they interact amongst each other and interact with my customers. The greatest value is to insist every day that they focus on the customer. And I can say this with a matter of pride that in our company, if a complaint is brought to my attention, there is nothing that is not handled within the first 1 hour that it hits my table.
And actually, I noticed that your personal email is on the website.
Yes.
So you're actually accessible.
Yes.
That's awesome. And so many companies are like, you know, the people are, the CEO or the leaders are totally inaccessible. You totally can't access them, where you're totally accessible.
I get at least, okay, we are a huge company. We go out of our way to try to keep all our customers happy. But in 10,000, you will have two or three people who are unhappy anyway. We're not gods. And I get the complaint, it comes into my e-box, and we look at it.
I think that also gives you confidence as a consumer that, you know, I can access the CEO if things really go haywire. Sometimes they do. It's not necessarily people's
fault. Last year in the economic department survey, we were voted the most consumer-friendly company in the UAE. Mm.
Well, that's excellent. I don't know if there's any last piece of advice you want to leave people who are chasing their dreams or reaching for that next rung in the corporate ladder. What would be your final piece of advice?
The rainbow is there. Don't ever feel it's not. Go for it.
Self-belief, determination, hard work, pushing through the tough times. I think these are a lot of the takeaways from your story.
The most important thing is there are days when you go to sleep saying, Christ, should I get up in the morning? All I can say is do so.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and I think we definitely all had those days going, if you were in the crisis through Dubai, and look at what a turnaround we're facing. What an amazing time to be around. And thank you so much, Mr. Rajaram, Chief Executive Officer of Al Nabuda Automobiles, for taking your time to share with us your insights.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure being here.
It was great. Thank you so much. That was Rajaram, the Chief Executive Officer of Al Nabuda Automobiles, number one in what he does in the world. And it took over 40 years, tenacity, persistence, drive, self-belief. Some of the things which, you know, you hear them all the time, but very few people actually practice them. Now, you know, we're not just going to look at one success story. We have a second success story coming up. We have the Chief Executive Officer of Archie Comic Books. For anybody who grew up as an Archie comic book fan, this is amazing. Nancy Silberkleit actually had a tough run in life. It was not easy, as you heard with Rajaram. It was not easy in the beginning. Nancy actually failed grade one. She got hit by life right out of the gates, but didn't give up, kept driving. We're going to listen to her story. It's how she rose up and became one of the most successful publishers in the world. So this is one interview you don't want to miss. We were up with that right after the break, so stay with us.